You know, when you're reading passages in the Bible, and sometimes something just shouts at you when you read it. Well, that was what happened with me with Philippians this week. And I just couldn't get away from what it said in Philippians, because it was something that I really feel. Where till I find where it is? Whoops. I can't find it. What it says really is that he loves the people in Philippi, and he's thankful that they are all together in Jesus Christ, and he prays for them all the time. And that's just how I feel about the church here. I love everybody who comes to this church, whether they're rich, poor, old, new, doesn't matter. We're all equal in God's sight, and I just love the people in this church. And I know if I love you the way I do, then God loves us so, so much more. So don't ever, ever forget that you are always in his sights, and he's always there supporting you wherever you are. That's it. I'm going home now. Right, in this letter from the church in Philippi, Paul was writing from a Roman prison. Now, it was either in Jerusalem or it was from Rome itself. It's not quite clear where he wrote it. But where he wrote it isn't really important. What he did write was important. And he was writing to encourage the Philippians to keep their focus on their faith in Jesus. And even in captivity, Paul seems to be full of joy. We've heard a lot about the word joy. It's been mentioned a few times this morning. And the secret of his joy is founded on his relationship with Jesus. You know, joy is often thought about as being happy. You know, when you get presents, or you go on holiday, or you meet somebody who you haven't seen for a long time, or you laugh. Things make us happy. But unfortunately, laughter can be short-lived, can't it? You laugh about something and then you move on to something else and the laughter's forgotten. It comes and goes. The presents can wear out or they can break. They don't often last. You know what it's like, even just with a washing machine, a cooker, an iron, whatever. At one time, you bought them and they lasted for years and years. Now, they last for so long and then you break down and you have to get a new one. Mind, I have to say that's not right with our tumbler, which was bought for me as a wedding present in 69. And we're still using it. But I don't think they make them like that anymore. Otherwise, they would all be out of business. However, joy is deeper than happiness. It's stronger and it's more meaningful because it is the inner peace and the certain assurance that God's love is at work in our lives and that he's always there. For joy, we don't depend on the material things of this world, which are, as we've said, temporary, but on Jesus himself. At this time of year, we sing, don't we? We'll be singing in the next few weeks, "Joy to the world, the Lord has come." And that is a joy we have in Jesus, which lasts forever. Paul was joyful even in captivity. And he used every opportunity, as it says, to encourage Christians to suffer bravely, to live in single-mindedness, and to trust their lives to the Lord in all situations and circumstances. I'm going to turn this down because I can't see it properly. It's all right. Whoa. Bye. No, it's the wrong one. I'm sorry. Yes, that's fine. I'm sorry, it's just my paper keeps slipping down and I can't see it. be a shame for us all to miss out on God's word, wouldn't it? So, Paul saw opportunities in all these circumstances of being in prison. He saw them as doors to show people the gospel, not only with words, but by his attitude. He used it as a way of showing Christ and the Christian faith to everyone around him. Doesn't matter who they were, even if they were Roman gods. And he was still able to make a difference in the lives of others. And we hear when Paul's been in prison, or when Peter was in prison, how the guards were influenced and changed by what they saw in God's people. Now, this might sound easy. And although Paul wasn't locked behind bars like he would be in Durham jail, he wasn't able to go out of the house. It was more like a house arrest. And he probably suffered many discomforts, because no doubt some of the guards would want to see him suffer. But he didn't dwell on his own situation. He trusted in God to take care of him. And he looked only to use his captivity as an opportunity for the gospel. His instructions about discipleship in this passage is related to two of the facts that are at the very center of our Christian faith. The first one is the work of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 19 he says, I will continue to rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help given me by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, that what has happened to me will turn out for my deliverance. And the second one was his belief in Christian hope. In verse 6 he says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. In the midst of any trials, I'm losing my thing and I've got my own teeth as well. In the midst of any trials we might suffer, is our relationship with Jesus joyful? Is it strong enough that we can look beyond ourselves and show others the gospel? I believe that when we can show joy in knowing Jesus, especially in difficult circumstances, it makes others look at us and it makes them wonder and ask how we cope or what makes us tick. And this gives us the perfect opportunity to witness for Jesus. And it's a fabulous advertisement of the gospel, because they can see how we are not downtrodden by the circumstances we are in, but that we have this hope in Jesus. Now, wherever Paul went on his travels, didn't matter who he was talking to, he didn't waver in standing firm in his belief in Jesus. He didn't care what people thought about him. It didn't matter. What mattered was that Jesus was made known. Can we do that? Sometimes it's easier to sidestep situations which we know will be uncomfortable for us as Christians. Standing up for Jesus and our Christian faith and beliefs can cause damage to relationships with family, with friends or work colleagues. Some of us might have found that out already. So do we sidestep these opportunities because we don't want to upset the relationships, instead of focusing on our life and our relationship with Jesus? I don't think I have read anywhere of Jesus ever sidestepping a difficult situation. He faced it head on, knowing for certain that God would protect him. And we should know that too. Did it concern him what people said about him? When he went to the house of Zacchaeus, when he said to Zacchaeus, come down, Zacchaeus, in front of all these people, I'm coming to your house for tea. Of course not. because he was focused on spreading God's love to all the people. He was focused on the Lord and his faith and his belief and what he was sent to do. He didn't care what other people, as long as his relationship with Father was right, he was right. Now, we can often find ourselves in similar situations where people don't understand us. I know it's difficult when we don't listen or use bad language, when we won't be involved in blue or dirty jokes, or we keep helping people who are in bad situations, who many say are created by themselves, like the drug addicts or the alcoholics, or the people with mental health problems, which we just don't understand. But they look at us because we help them and we show them love and compassion without judging them, just as Jesus did. Frequently in the world today, I'm sure you've all here heard it, the name of Jesus or God are used as swear words. And that just makes me cringe, you know. I have to admit that when that happened to me, I cannot keep my mouth shut, which is no change, really. I don't keep my mouth shut at all. But in any of these situations, do we stand firm by saying something or excusing ourselves because we know it's wrong? Or do we just accept it and say, oh, it's the way of the world today. I'm not saying anything. It's nothing to do with me. I remember once I was in the post office when it was at St. Helens, so I'll tell you how long ago that was. And they were talking about slippers moving. You know, people say the spirits come back and they move the slippers, and they said these slippers moved. And then somebody said, well, nobody's ever come back to tell us, have they? And I don't know how I did it, but I just spoke in the middle of the shop and said, well, Jesus did. And that shut up all the conversation. You could hear a pin drop. And when somebody says to me, you know, oh, isn't that awful, but only God knows, I can turn around and say, well, yes, he does. And that shuts them up as well. Just little things. We just need little things, don't have to be big things. Now, there's been an account in the news, which I'm sure you've all heard of, concerning the Ashes Baking Company, who refused to decorate a cake with a message which they believed wasn't according to God's will or their Christian faith. Now, they refused to decorate the cake with the message, support gay marriage. The Equality Commission for Northern Ireland took them to County Cork and they were fined £500 for discrimination. Now, many would have given up then. I mean, it had cost them £500. And it's more than possible that people were saying, well, it serves them right. Aren't they stupid doing something like that? What does it matter? What's written on the cake? It's business. Customers always right. But the Ashes stood their ground for Jesus and for their faith in him, and they continued to appeal the decision, which again they lost in the appeal court, but they won in the Supreme Court. Now, they persevered because of what they believed, but it took 4 years. But the Lord was with them. And he sent and used the Christian Institute to fund the legal costs. And the Christian Institute worked tirelessly on behalf of the Ashes. You know, God's help comes to us in many different ways, but he will always meet us at our point of need. The prayers of fellow Christians countrywide also upheld them. And even though many others, maybe the same ones in the first, maybe more, continued to say they were foolish, it didn't stop them. But I think it's more than probable that the Ashes were like Paul. used their circumstances, knowing how God works in his Holy Spirit, used their circumstances to explain the gospel to those who didn't understand why they were taking their stand, but they were willing to listen to their reason. Now, situations we face aren't as big or as public as the Ashes Bakery, but they are equally important to the Lord. And it is just as necessary for us to stand firm in our faith and in its defence, no matter where we are, no matter who we're with, no matter how uncomfortable we might feel. It is our duty and our love of God that makes us and should make us stand firm, because he's with us, supporting us, making us bold. He's got our backs. Can you remember the account, I'm sure you can, in the Gospels, when Jesus was in the boat with his disciples and the storm came up and they were all terrified, and there was Jesus just lying there asleep. They were terrified, so they woke him up. I can compare that boat to represent our life. And the stormy waters and the troubles are the difficulties that we face in those lives that can easily make us afraid. But just as Jesus was with the disciples in that boat and he calmed everything down, he can help us in the same way every minute of every day by his Holy Spirit who lives in each one of us. This means that wherever we are, Jesus is with us. And if we trust him and we turn to him and our focus on him, like the disciples did, we don't need to be afraid to stand firm, because we are empowered from within. Nothing can change that. It comes from inside by God's grace and the power of his Holy Spirit. What did Jesus say to the disciples when they woke him up? You of little faith, why are you so afraid? We should know by now how much we are treasured by the Lord and loved by Jesus. And we're told in God's word that love casts out all fear. So next time we are in a situation that's difficult, that we find difficult, that we don't think we can cope with, let's just sit down and look to Jesus and ask him to help us in the situation we're in. And because he loves us with a love that we can never, ever understand, he will be there and he will do it, because he's faithful and we can trust him. He also tells us in Matthew's Gospel that whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother, my sister, and my mother. That means you and me. We are the children of God and part of his family. So what I pray is that together we be united in our partnership as a family in the gospel, sharing God's grace, enabling the defense and the confirmation of the gospel, as Paul says in verse 7. And to continue, as Paul encouraged the Philippians to do in verse 27, when he says, continue to stand firm in one spirit, striving side by side with one mind for the faith of the gospel. I think that's our challenge, is to stand firm in our faith. And I pray that we can keep moving on in our faith. God has brought us so far as this part of his family. And holding on to it in opposition and speaking up for our faith when we are challenged I think that's something that we have to do. So I just hope that we can persevere so that others may believe that we are the family of God. Simply by seeing who we are, how we act, what we say, how we behave, and by living by the fruit of the Spirit, which is written down for us in black and white in Ephesians. Next week is the first week of Advent. And when we think of Jesus' first coming, let us this week see how many opportunities that sometimes we miss arise when we think we can speak of Jesus, even in those little ways, like God knows or Jesus has come back, whatever, any little way. Let's ask the Lord to open our eyes, because sometimes these opportunities are all around us and we don't see them. Let's trust the Lord to let us see them, to open our eyes, to understand what he's showing us, and to speak up, to be bold, to be strong, because the Lord our God is with us. Let us pray. Help us, Lord, to be one in you, confident in your presence, living in us at all times, equipping us by the mighty power of your Holy Spirit, so that we can stand firm against any and all opposition to your word and our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. Keep us united as one, just as you and Jesus are one. And help us, we pray, as individuals and as your church here in West Auckland, to persevere in your grace and in your love. In Jesus' name.